All right, everyone. This is season 3, episode 23. We're back on How the Enemy Thinks and Acts. And this one is going to be on the 99-1 rule. And to update you what we already went over and what we will cover later, talk about problem, reaction, solution, spiritual technology, acceptance of inception, blood rituals, pedophilia, blackmail and drugs, removal of wisdom, carnal and soulful connections, archaeometry, control of resources, seduction of monarchs, your leaders, indoctrination of children, control the opposition. Today we're on 99-1 rule. Then we're going to go over, after this episode, create idolatry through covetousness. Traumatize love to seek pleasure. Use fear to control hope. Allow battles to be lost to win the war. Ungodly spiritual powers. Compartmentalize the process. Rebellion equals theft. Hide in plain sight. Yes. We're going to go through this list. Next season is going to be very interesting. And if you all want to have a guest appear, I might have that in the future. We'll see. But for those that want to see me live, you can check me out at TikTok. Sometimes I'll be on Instagram, I'm actually starting that up. Both TikTok and Instagram is tab_freedom. I mainly do live calls on TikTok, so that's where you can check me out there. But the 99-1 rule, what is that? What do I mean by 99-1 rule? That doesn't make any sense. We've all heard of the 80-20 rule, but haven't heard of the 99-1 rule. Essentially, it means having everybody do 99% of the work while you take the 1%, which is the credit for the work. So throughout history, you've heard of many people say, look at what this individual did. Look at what that individual did. Look at that man or woman did this or that. They couldn't have done it without others. That's the truth of it. So the 99-1 rule, how does that work? Well, it definitely works with many of the others, such as hiding in plain sight, compartmentalizing the process, controlling of the resources, seducing others, removing wisdom from people, performing rituals, using deception. There's many ways it can happen, without a doubt. And these are very, very effective ways to complete it. But I do not recommend utilizing the 99-1 rule, or any of these, for that matter. If you want to have God work through you and help others by restoring creation, don't use the 99-1 rule. It's just, that's obvious. But what we're going to do is take a quick break and get right back into this. We'll go over how this really works. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back, everyone. I appreciate you all listening into this awesome content. But we're going to go ahead and cover from the book 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. This is actually law number 7. It says, get others to do the work for you, but always take the credit. It says, use the wisdom, knowledge, and legwork of other people to further your own cause. Not only will such assistance save you valuable time and energy, it will give you a godlike aura of efficiency and speed. In the end, your helpers will be forgotten and you will be remembered. Never do yourself what others can do for you. That is the 99-1 rule. You're probably thinking, how could somebody do something like that? Inconceivable. If any of you have ever watched the Disney movie Princess Bride. Inconceivable. But with that being said, yes, it is actually very not just unorthodox, but evil. There's many evil things. This is one of another. However, let's put it this way. There is much to be known. Life is short, and life is not life without knowledge. It is therefore an excellent device to acquire knowledge from everybody. Thus, by the sweat of another's brow, you win the reputation of being an oracle. You're like, what? Who is this? They're so smart. I just did research, talked to people. Or, like, for example, by the way, Robert Greene is great at posting or writing books that help. I just don't think he's aware of the things that you and I know. That being said, there's a reversal to this, meaning there are times when taking the credit for work that others have done is not the wise course. If your power is not firmly enough established, you will seem to be pushing people out of the limelight. To be a brilliant exploiter of talent, your position must be unshakable, or you will be accused of deception. Be sure you know when letting other people share the credit serves your purpose. It is especially important to not be greedy when you have a master above you. President Richard Nixon's historic visit to the People's Republic of China was originally his idea, but it might never have come off but for the deft diplomacy of Henry Kissinger. Nor would it have been as successful without Kissinger's skills. Still, when the time came to take credit, Kissinger adroitly let Nixon take the lion's share. Knowing that the truth would come out later, he was careful not to jeopardize his standing in the short term by hogging the limelight. Kissinger played the game expertly. He took credit for the work of those below him while graciously giving credit for his own labors to those above. That is the way to play the game. That's not the only way you're playing the game. That's just what it means by taking credit. The 99-1 rule. Yes. You have everyone else do the work. Give the knowledge, the resources, the time, the energy. In return, you let those people believe what you tell them, what they want to hear. That's why you'll find politicians say one thing and then mean another. But then again, can they say anything that they want because of certain things? Because of certain things, yes. They are evil things, without a doubt. But that being said, This is not a recommendation or suggestion to use the 99-1 rule at all. But let's say, for example, what if it wasn't people? And you're using animals to help you do the work. Are you going to give them the credit? Can they even accept the work they did? Not entirely. I mean, as long as you take care of them, that's all that they look for. But when it comes to people, it's different. So, like, for example, if you have a restaurant, and then you have the manager, the waiters and waitresses, chefs, and a few others here and there, like bussers, dishwashers. The manager can't take credit for waiting the tables. Can't take credit for cooking the food or grilling or baking, whatever. Can't take credit for washing dishes, let alone take credit for bussing. Unless they were doing that themselves. But all they were doing was making sure people were doing their job. That's all they can take credit for, is managing the people. And that's it. So it seems like there's not a lot to talk about for the 99-1 rule. But wait, there's more. Yes, with the 99-1 rule, it's not just about having people do the work for you. They have to believe in you, in your vision, in order to do the work. That way, if you aren't doing the work, they need to believe in you and your vision. So, there's no vision, there's no animation coming from the tonality, the demeanor, the body language, just telling people what to do, there ain't gonna be any work done. So, how then do they get people to do work? It becomes psychological. Yes, psychological. Meaning, if you tell them about the vision, you let them know the rewards to come, consequences that will happen if they don't do anything, that they must want to do this, or they have a need to do the work. It's either a want or a need. There's no other way around it. Workers must always want or need to work. Let's put it in a larger perspective. Now you have a brand named company. Macy's. How many people work for that company? A lot. Not looking it up, but it's a lot. Now, do most people need that job? Yes. Because most of those people don't know how to build wealth. Do they get credit? Their managers and supervisors and superiors will give them credit where it's due, but not for the movement of the company or the name of the company. So then it stems to culture. And that culture thrives in the compartmentalization. Yes, the compartmentalization. The culture is the same everywhere, except unless you have little cliques going on in the workplace, which I've dealt with before. Yes. So, this is then what happens. You can't take credit for the brand name of the company if all you do is move boxes. You can take credit for moving boxes from point A to point B, or forklifting boxes from one point to another, whatever it may be. Okay? So, with the people, then it becomes, now I want myself to be known among others, my friends, and the public. That's great. Because they have to source it away from work. Most people will not source being known at work. And those that do are usually going to be board members. Or directors, or trustees. So they get their credibility at a higher level. And again, it's also based on the value that's provided. So let's say that you know how farming works, agriculture works. But you're not going to do all that work yourself. All the others do it. Because they enjoy farming. Building the agriculture. Because you know how business works. Your value is best at the logistics. Or best at the sales. And through that, that's why then you'll be able to delegate people to do the other things that they build it within the people over time by starting small. So by the time of the third or fourth generation, they know the name well enough that it's been embedded into the generations. Hence, for example, Disney, okay? You have something that started out small with the people, grew from the next generation to the next generation and the next generation. Now all the people that worked and work for the company, those that don't work for it, thrive that culture, but who takes the credit? The name takes the credit. Disney, family is around. But do they take the credit for that company? No. So then out of that, who takes the credit? The CEO and the board of directors. As well as the shareholders that have voting rights, that is. And so through that, now you're starting to see that it's not just about getting people to do the work for you. It's very intricate. And there's many moving parts that are required to have the 99-1 rule. Hence the reason why you have the 1% take the credit for 99% doing the work. It's the satanic elite versus the people. It's the satanic elite, the 1%, the people in the world, the 99%. From broke to multimillionaires. Or if you get to the satanic bloodline level, then it's broke people up to this satanic elite. They're agents. They take the 1% credit anonymously, while the rest get nothing. Meaning, the satanic elites give the people credit where it's due, but they present themselves as one that takes the credit in the public, on the private, giving it to their masters. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about how we're going to do this effectively that actually helps people instead of doing the 99-1 rule. So stay tuned. Alright, so we're going to go ahead and talk about how the best things to work for us instead of doing the 99-1 rule. And that is, there's an 80-20 rule, which is the Pareto rule, and there's one that I created about a month ago or so, called the 70-30 rule. Most people know what 80-20 rule is, meaning you put in 20% of your energy to gain 80% of the results. Or like with sales, you do 20% of customers and clients that bring you your revenue produces 80% of your revenue. Well, there's also the 70-30 where, let's look at a financial standpoint. That with the 80-20, you have 80% done by others because they're best at that. You get them 80% of the credits while you take the 20% that produced your 80%. So you take your credit for what you did as the others take their credit for that. The 70-30, here's what we can do to align how we will effectively do this on a financial level. 70-30. Put in 30% to receive 70%. So that way 30% that's put into the present results in 70% in the future that becomes present. Stay with me on this. What you have, you put a tenth to God, a tenth to yourself, and a tenth to your network. So that's 3/10 out of your entire tenth, or the ten. So 70% goes to everything else, your rent, water, food, so forth. The 30, so as you have 1/10 set aside for God, will increase what you do and what you produce. Whereas you have a tenth set for yourself is long-term generational wealth. So that way it takes care of you and your family. And then the third tenth. This is what would be your community. Or your small group of network. It's not a network if it's social. It's just a bunch of people talking amongst one another. Whereas each of you that earns, every time you earn, all right, puts a tenth aside. So let's do this, okay? Let's say you, because most people are able to afford silver, it's like $30 with broker fees. But if you were to go to sell, it'd be like 25 Federal Reserve notes today, currently. So let's say you did, I don't know, let's say 10 every time you earned. Do you 50? Okay. Well, let's take a look at that. So if you did your 10 ounces every other week, then what you'd look at, say, 250 times 26, 6,500. All right, so that's 6,500, okay? Do that 40 years, we got 260,000. Now let's say that there is at least two others. 780,000 Federal Reserve notes. My goodness. Okay. That's over 40 years. While it would take you and your network some time, the 40 years, you'd still be able to pass it on to your family. You'd still be able to build upon that within those 40, after those 40 years. You could just say, have a farmer. Lease it out to a farmer. Build your cash flow upon that. Let's say, you bought an apartment complex, basing your cash flow on that. You're not going to have a bank loan you in the beginning. So whenever you need to move ahead in investing, you have friends, family, and investors. Investors want the value you provide. Your skill set. Friends and family, maybe not as much, but it won't be as much as what an investor provides. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But that's the fastest way you're able to move forward in less than 40 years. Okay, so think about that 780,000 Federal Reserve notes brought to you. Let's say a million. Okay. The million from an investor or multiple investors. It's better you have one and not many. Then you're able to take from those earnings and set aside as well for your network. So when things are going in a wrong direction, you have a collateral cushion. Not saying it's the only thing, but it's one thing that helps you build your foundation for your network. And let's say that you don't need to use that collateral cushion. You're good with that investment. Now you can use that amount that you've built up for your network to buy other investments. So you and your network take the entire 100% credit, but like a 30-30-30, or oh, it's going to be a little bit more than that. But you all take the credit for doing that. So these are just some suggestions, some recommendations to open up your mind what you're able to do. Maybe you don't have a skill set. Maybe you don't have the resources. A lot of people don't. Many self-made millionaires actually started off with very little to nothing. What did they do? They put in their time to research what they wanted to do. Once they did that, they put in their 10,000 hours by networking and working and built up over time for what they were doing. And so instead of taking the credit themselves, they gave the credit where it was due. And so your personality, speaking of credit, could also be with a business, a small business. Your personality and your character can be credit to then gain supplies. So even though your credit to gain supplies, you're giving the credit to the business that gave you the supplies as much as your credit that acquired the supplies. Just open up your mind to the possibilities. Maybe there's something that you didn't think of that you have, that you are able to utilize. So that way you become successful. But make sure you know how finances work. Make sure you know your skill or your craft. Whatever it is that you do, make sure you have the experience. And give credit to due to those that did the work that you can't do, but at least have a basic understanding of. That way, you'll be prosperous and prosper others. So that being said, I appreciate you all staying tuned in to this awesome content. I'll catch you out all next time. See ya.